Support for State Week comes from the following sponsors: PI.org, the Illinois Education Association, and Visit Springfield.
From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Data centers are becoming more of an issue in Illinois and other states. These sometimes massive facilities are being developed to pave the way for the growing move into cloud computing and artificial intelligence, but many residents and local governments are concerned about things like power and water usage, noise pollution, and more. State lawmakers left efforts to regulate the centers on the table at the end of the spring session, but the governor says he wants something done. Also, J.B. Pritzker signing legislation to keep medical records related to abortion information from being shared out of state. We'll talk about that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, professor emeritus and former director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime reporter and observer. Our guest this week, for the first time on the show, we welcome John Pletz, a reporter with Crane Chicago Business. John, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Also back with us, Nicole Hittrick, a reporter for Capital News Illinois. Nicole, nice to have you back as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the data center discussion. John, I expected that lawmakers would pass something because this has gotten so much attention, and maybe not even what they wanted, but at least an effort to try to rein in and put some guardrails on these facilities. That didn't happen. The governor spoke this week. He has taken some action since the session, but now he's actually talking a little bit more about data centers. What did he have to say?
Well, he'd really like the legislature to take it up potentially in the veto session. They didn't get the he had pitched this in his budget address in February. It didn't get traction and didn't get voted on, didn't end up in the final budget package. So, now he's talking about just having DCO by executive order pause approval of these applications. And there's been some question about whether or not he has the authority to do it or whether it requires the legislature. And, clearly he'd like to have the legislature act on it, but it's a much tougher issue than you might think. You've seen the protests, or at least the sort of the outcry from Springfield to Rockford. I mean, there've been residents just packing these city council and county board meetings, really upset about their power prices going up. They think data centers, are a big reason for that. So there's a lot of public outcry, and in an election year, that's pretty good retail politics. The problem is that the unions are very much in favor of those data centers, and labor is a big force in the Capitol, and I think that's a big factor here. These data centers provide a lot of jobs at a time when a lot of other commercial construction has slowed down. And then, you've also got environmental groups who are an important constituency, and they're very worried about, both power and water usage by the data center operators. You put all those three things together, and it's really not a surprise that they couldn't get something through as easily as you might think.
And Nicole, how close were they to trying to get something through? Because I know you've covered this as well throughout the session, but in the end of the day, we were sitting there, people, I think a lot of local governments were sitting there going, hey, we'd like some guidance from you. We got nothing.
Yeah, it didn't really go very far. As John was saying, there were so many different stakeholders that had concerns going in different directions, and the lawmakers just ran out of time to really consider the issue. A lot of them were telling me that, with the number of stakeholders they've got and the how complex the issue is, and how that main regulation, the Power Act, had so much going on with it, they said that they basically were just there was kind of too much going on, and they just ran out of time to really get the details smoothed out.
Charlie, the governor got some criticism on this and some other issues as well, basically saying he wasn't taking the lead as much as he should. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it, as was indicated, this is a very tough issue for Democrats because on the one hand, you have organized labor that is interested in the jobs that would be created in constructing one of these data centers. And on the other hand, you have environmentalists who are very concerned about the impact on, particularly on electric usage when you put up one of these massive data centers. There was a report, I think it was from the Lawrence Berkeley Labs, in the story that I read, it said in 2018, data centers accounted for 1.9% of all electricity consumption in the US. In 2023, that number jumped to 4.4% of all electricity. And the estimates for 2028 go as high as 12%. And that is, you look at one of these data centers and it uses more electricity, say, than the community in which it's located. And there's question about the water usage, question about even the noise caused by the generators. And so it's a very complex issue. And I think, Nicole, I think you talked to Ann Williams and she was pointing out, who was one of the House leads on this, and she was pointing out that these things take time to work out, right?
Yeah, that was her big thing too, was just all of these energy bills. You saw this with CEJA and with SERJA. These energy related bills just have so many moving parts and touch so many things that they tend to take a lot of time and a lot of discussion before people can get a final package to the table that people can be on board with.
I don't know if it was your story, Nicole, or John, or somebody else, but somebody pointed out the, for want of a better term, the dysfunctional scheduling of the legislature this spring, where both chambers weren't in simultaneously that often. And so you might think, well, what difference does that make? But it makes a lot of difference because a lot of these issues get resolved by discussions among lawmakers, even informally. But if one chamber is not there when the other one is, and vice versa, you miss out on that opportunity to advance these issues.
Well, that's a good point. We'll be back with more and talk more about this on State Week.
Support for State Week comes from PIORG, a nonprofit consulting firm providing resources for strategic planning, best practice implementation, and outcomes-focused program evaluation across the country, helping organizations make data understandable and actionable, enabling change makers to strengthen critical skills and serve others more effectively. PI, Plan, Implement, Evaluate. Services and information at pyorg.org.
And we are back on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford, along with John Pletz from Crain Chicago Business and Nicole Hetrick, a reporter for Capital News Illinois. John, you cover technology and that beat. I gotta say, the data center thing still seems awfully new to me. I know they've been around for a while, but it seems like things are really moving fast. And my guess is we're just, scratching the surface of where this may go as far as the need for these. Is that fair to say at this point? Are we going to see a lot more of these developed here over the next, say, decade or so?
There's not much indication it's going to slow down anytime soon, and that's related to just the growth of AI as that becomes much more widespread. And yeah, the interesting thing is, we've been building data centers for 20 plus years, and it was just in the last few years that it really exploded, particularly because of AI, which requires much larger data centers, much more computing powers. And that's when people really started to take notice. They used to be a big data center was 100 megawatts. And that's not small. That's what you'd see with a large industrial project. And now, there are data centers by some of the really large tech companies, that are well over a gigawatt. And We had pretty steady power demand and pricing for a long time, and that changed, and that got everybody's attention. You put those two things together, and it becomes a thing. And there, the forecasts I've seen, there's no indication that it's going to slow down in the near term. It might start to level off, 5-10 years out, but boy, for the moment, there's no end in sight.
Well, also, as somebody who follows the industry, technology, and such, there was a lot of talk about the fact that if, and I heard this here in Sangamon County, for example, but I think it's going on everywhere, and that is, if we don't do it, someone else is going to do it. It's going to go somewhere else, and we'll lose out on tax revenue. We'll lose out on these jobs. Is that a fair argument to make?
Yeah, the data centers are going to get built somewhere. And it's really a question of whether you want them built in your community or somewhere else. And it's not just your community, it's another state. And that's the argument that the data center industry has been making about pausing the incentives. And that's very true. You don't have to look very far to see, particularly in Indiana, there's been an absolute explosion of really large data centers, all the giants, whether it's Google, Amazon, Meta, are building these, gigawatt plus data centers across the state. So yeah, that's a legitimate argument.
Nicole, did you hear that quite a bit? Yes, maybe one of the reasons why things didn't advance more at the Capitol this spring is that we don't want to find Illinois behind these other states necessarily. We want to do it in a way that, we're still competitive.
Yeah, that was one of the major issues. The impasse really came down to this difference between wanting to protect communities and the environment and, make those, keep those protected, but also make sure that the state remained competitive, especially because Illinois has been an attractive location for data center construction. And obviously, Pritzker, with his interest in things like quantum computing, that would also contribute to needing more data centers and some more of that investment. And that was the argument that labor groups and the data center industry were making.
Well, let me ask this, because there's talk of, hey, we're going to talk about this over the summer. That's something that lawmakers like to do when they don't get something done during the session. Well, we're going to give it a lot of discussion, a lot of negotiation, and we'll come back in the fall and do something. Well, here we are. We're getting into July now. Is there any evidence, Nicole, that you're seeing anything that maybe jump-starting these talks? I mean, is something scheduled? Do we think something's going to happen soon?
I have not heard any updates about what specifically is happening. I do know that some of the lawmakers are having these sort of community listening sessions where they're talking to their constituents about their concerns and what they'd like to see. And I think that's kind of the big thing that has happened so far. I don't know. I don't have any word that negotiations themselves have happened.
John,
but I also can't say that they haven't.
And John, did you hear anything more on that? I know the governor, of course, talking about it this week, but any indication something's happening soon?
Nothing soon and nothing formal. I have heard some folks hinting that you may see something in the veto session, and it may be much bigger than just the incentives, that you may end up with a discussion around a much bigger discussion around what the environmental groups had proposed, something that was in the Power Act, which is this concept of bring your own power. It was part of the discussion around Surge, last year, and the idea that making sure that the data centers pay for, the generating capacity, as well as, more importantly, the transmission infrastructure around that. So those costs don't roll back on ratepayers. And then, the other big component of any data center discussion in Illinois is BIPA, the Biometric Privacy Act. And that is something that has been of interest to the data center industry. They will tell you that particular law has prevented the really large data center projects in Illinois that you've seen in other states, that they're just too worried about the liability. And so, Illinois has been something of a no-fly zone. And so if you get a discussion, it's going to involve all of that, which is a lot. But remember that it was a year ago that that transit and energy got dealt with in veto. So, it can happen if people want it to happen.
CBS News released the results of a poll that they took, a national poll, and it showed that basically the respondents in the poll really didn't think data centers were a good idea. For example, one question was, are data centers good or bad for the environment? 14% said mostly good, 60% mostly bad. For resources like water and electricity, mostly good, 14%, mostly bad, 63%. People's energy utility costs, mostly good, 13%, mostly bad, 61%. So the feeling that the concern is not just in Illinois, it's national. And this was, as I said, a survey of a nationally representative sample of more than 2,000 adults.
Well, there's no question that there are no warm fuzzies for the data center industry, and they are at a huge deficit when it comes to public support. This is an industry that nobody paid attention to. They went about doing what they do for years, and all of a sudden they're in the spotlight, and they really haven't known how to deal with this. There's not a lot of public support. That's one of the challenges that the data center industry has in pushing its agenda in Springfield. And, if it wasn't for organized labor because of the jobs, I think, they'd have a lot more trouble. The public is very wary of AI. As much as people love plugging things into ChatGPT, you've already seen job losses, particularly in the technology industry.
All right, we'll be back with more in just a moment.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. The Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.
Back on State Week, and Nicole Hitrick from Capital News Illinois, let me turn to you about some legislation the governor signed this week. It has to do with abortions and medical records. What is the goal of this legislation and now a law?
The goal of the legislation is to protect people from retaliation from out-of-state entities. On the floor and in committee meetings, we heard stories about women who came to Illinois to get abortion care, which is legal completely in Illinois, but they would return to their home state. And if a provider found out that they had had an abortion, they were dropped by that provider or they were reported. And obviously, those kinds of consequences are things that Illinois lawmakers would like to avoid.
And this is just the latest piece of legislation since Roe was overturned 4 years ago. In fact, the governor signed this legislation on the anniversary of that Supreme Court decision. So, I mean, are we done seeing legislation to protect, basically the things that they think needed to be done? Is that in place now, or are we going to see more?
No, we're definitely going to see more, especially as the anti-abortion movement evolves and other states pass laws that restrict these rights. I think that you're going to continue to see Illinois responding to those, especially since Illinois is such a such a key part of the abortion landscape in the country, with almost a quarter of the people who travel out of state come to Illinois.
So, Charlie, becoming a destination, I guess you could say, for this type of care is one of the main reasons why we're seeing this bill, for example, become law.
Yeah, and there have been instances in the past when out of state, I was going to say law enforcement, I don't know if that's accurate, but out of state interests accessed medical records, accessed travel records, and then tried to prosecute people who came to Illinois, or even prosecute people who assisted them. Maybe, you gave a ride to your neighbor to Illinois, and then you get back home, and suddenly you're facing criminal charges. And I think this is a measure that's designed to shield those kinds of information from out-of-state interests that would be opposed to an individual coming to Illinois for this procedure. Now, the records can be disclosed, as I understand it, with the consent of the individual, but otherwise, no, they're going to be they won't be deleted, but they'll be shielded so that out-of-staters can't get at them. Now, I'm guessing this is going to be difficult to implement in the sense that all these medical records obviously are on computers, and so the programming will have to be arranged so that an out-of-state request for information will be rejected. Whereas if it's the local doctor who wants the information, they'll be able to get it. So, but this is going to be an ongoing battle. It's going to go back and forth, and it's going to continue as the anti-abortion folks try and figure out ways to criminalize the procedure further and punish people who are involved in providing it.
John, real quick, that technology exists to be able to shield this information?
Sure, the technology companies can do it. They just may not want to do it because it's going to cost them money. And the governor was asked about that, and he said, the electronic records companies, there's only a handful of them, were involved in the negotiations over the new law. And he said, while some may not want to make the investment required to change their software, we're going to require it because it's the right thing to do. And what's interesting about that is this is going to be a recurring challenge. This is one of the reasons that there's been such a debate over artificial intelligence, whether the regulations get set at the federal level or the state level. And when you start seeing state by state regulation, you do run into these challenges because the technology providers are national and global. And so this is just one example. You'll see it with AI, you're seeing it with social media, and you're going to see it with other pieces of technology.
Just a minute or so left here, and I did want to touch on a topic we've talked about it quite a bit, comes up about every other week. Chicago Bears, it's hard to go too long without talking about their efforts to get a new stadium. Indiana's trying to lure them to that state, but it seems there is a lot of discussion about where the Bears' situation stands here in Illinois. The governor talked about it this week. And John, what are you hearing at this point?
Says he's open to a special session if the Bears can come up with a proposal and do the heavy lifting required to get some support. So he's still hopeful, and he makes a good point that he doesn't think this is over yet, that the deal in Indiana is completely done. And we've gotten some indications of that. You talk to some of the local politicians, at least in Porter County, one of the two counties that's going to have to pass some taxes to pay for this. There's some real reluctance there.
But Charlie, that's where the rubber really hits the road, I guess, is when the locals have to go and ask people to help pay for this. Before it was, I think, just an idea, maybe a dream for some that they would lure a team, but this may make it a little bit harder.
Yeah, and it was noted in a couple of stories that basically the state government in Indiana, the governor and the legislators put through this package to attract the Bears, and it required a lot of local taxes to be raised. And some of the locals are now complaining, hey, we didn't sign on for this, and we don't want to have to take this extra expense. to bring this multi-billion dollar private enterprise here. And so I think it's still an open issue. And there's also the question, the site that the Bears are looking at near Wolf Lake in Indiana, there are questions about its environmental suitability because of what it was used for in the past. So this is still a long way from a done deal. And we'll be talking about this, I suppose, you know, come Christmas time.
I look forward to that. So let's go now to our notes from the field. And Nicole, I'll start with you this week.
Yeah, just for another little fun little technology update, I've been working on a story about what happens to the plug-in solar bill, which was introduced earlier this spring, and it stalled out in April. But it's this idea that would allow renters and people who don't have access to their roofs to use solar panels and benefit from that power. They're smaller units, and they are basically able to be plugged in, and you can just set them up on your balcony or in your backyard or something. And I know that a lot of lawmakers were really interested in the idea and definitely saw the potential for it. Advocates are obviously excited about it. And I was talking to people who said that given that, and given how many other states have adopted this legislation, it's up to 9 now. And they're saying that it's very likely it'll come up in veto session.
Well, we'll continue to watch for that. And Charlie.
Yeah, the governor signed a package of bills basically providing what he referred to as nickel dime protection for Illinois consumers. And the highlight was legislation that would ban so-called junk fees. The legislation would prohibit companies from advertising prices that don't disclose required service fees, processing fees, convenience fees, surcharges, and any other charges up front. And that includes food and delivery, rideshare platforms, lodging, short-term rental, restaurants, ticket vendors. And so it's basically to protect people from signing up for something and thinking the deal is done for X amount of dollars, and suddenly the tab comes up and it's X plus another X. So this is going to deal with it, and that would become effective on January 1st.
Well, that is all the time we have for this episode of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler, Nicole Hitrick with Capital News Illinois, and John Pletz with Crane Chicago Business. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Thanks for joining us, and join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capitol by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
Support for State Week comes from the members of the Illinois Education Association, serving 135,000 members of educators and support professionals around Illinois. IEA's mission is to promote excellence and equity in public education. When schools and communities unite, we all win. Resources and membership information at ieanea.org.